Sorry for being fashionably late.
Apologize. I wasn't sure what to do. I didn't know that it was Talmud Torah Derabim, but I thought Talmud Torah versus... There was a mitzvah that I didn't think anybody else could do the right way, so I had to. That's why I just excuse myself. I'm trying very hard this year to be on time for things. I don't know if anybody noticed that, but I'm trying much more this year to be on time for things. You able to hear me over there? Yeah, okay, good. But whatever, there's a Jew who's visiting, and I just didn't want to not be appropriate. So, apologies. Also, it's good. I guess everyone socialized a little bit. We had a little mixer. People got to know each other a little bit. Yeah, a little Daf Aleph action going on here. So, yeah. But tonight. This is it. If ever there were a time. If ever there were a time. Full moon fear. Okay. As we've been talking about Reb Nosson's challenges and how. It's not theoretical, the difficulties that Reb Nosson faced in his life and just the hardships, parnasa and family, his own internal struggles that he's so open about. I mean, the Sefer is just so open and so raw, so personal. These are not Torahs, these are not edited teachings, these are not formal, structured ma'amarim. There's no real thematic planning in it. It's Reb Nosson putting his heart on paper, even deeper and even more personal than Likutei Tefilos. Likutei Tefilos are written with an eye toward connecting to the Torah's Likutei Moran. Likutei Tefilos are written toward the idea of being printed and having, you know, people use them and find their own way, and find their own voice, our own voice within his prayers. These are letters. Much like Sichas Aran is Rabbi Nachman's conversations, not his classes. They're his diburim, his you know, casual living room type talk, versus the structured, measured way of Likutei Moran. So Michtavei Moranat and Olam Latrufa, very much from Nosson shooting from the hip, just sharing, speaking to his son. Like Rav Moshe Tzvi said earlier, just being real, being himself, and expressing all of his vulnerabilities in the most human and down-to-earth way. 200 years before it was trending in podcasts in the self-help section, you know, this is resilient, vulnerable grit, all in one, you know, in one action-packed volume, and it's going to be yours for 22 shekel at the Nanach Basta in Nero. Anyways, it's a to come. So this is the letter that I wanna daven over tonight and kind of learn together and receive also. This is a letter that Reb Nosson wrote to his son, but it's also a letter that Reb Nosson is in effect is sending to us. And flipping through all the trufa this morning, trying to find myself and remember this mikhtav, this letter. And this is another letter that's written at that time in 1835, when Reb Nosson is just going from one, it's going from bad to worse. It's literally going from bad to worse. It was after his being driven out of his home, after being in house arrest back in Nemirot. Trumped up charges, smear campaign, online bullying, I guess they call it, I don't know, whatever. Real, yeah, he was trolled hard. And there's a smear campaign that was instigated by someone who was a big person in the generation and his Talmidim, who felt that their actions were l'shem shamayim and were very deeply committed to eradicating Reb Nosson's influence, which really was Reb Nachman's influence in the world. He was accused of being like a false prophet and encouraging behavior that was in rebellion against the Tsar. You know, Breslover is, if a person's following the Eitzes of Rabbi Nachman like very carefully, So some of it could seem strange, meaning like separating oneself from the community, going out the fields, what are they doing there? What are they howling about? What are they doing in the middle of the night in Chatzos? You know, there's a certain eccentric, almost forcing a person to like reconsider their place in the world, just in the daily practice of a breslover, whether it's davening nates or going out to Chatzos and has voted this during the day. And, you know, people didn't really. There are some, like we said, Shpola Zeta and Moshe Tzvi from Savran, who were just like felt that the pathway in Avodas Hashem was too eccentric, it was too extreme, and it was too different, too much challenging the mainstream. And they had their cheshbonos klapei Shmaya, and it's not for us to judge the machloksim of tzaddikim, but suffice to say that Rav Nosson took it on the jaw, and had a very, very difficult time. It was affecting his life, affected his parnasa, it affected his shalom bayis, affected his ability just to be a functional person in the world, hold down a job, be with his children, be somebody who was charged with the responsibility of bringing Rabbi Nachman's truth and light and path to the next generation. He didn't accept the mantle of leadership as a Rebbe, but he was the one that everyone was looking toward for guidance after Rabbi Nachman's histalkus. So this is, again, from 1835, and he's writing to his son Rabbi Yitzchak. And he says, listen, I don't have to tell you about how difficult things are in Breslov. Breslov and Nemrov are two cities, which are two towns, shtetlach, that were very close to each other. He said, I don't have to tell you how difficult things are in Breslov. And he's referring to, for us, for our chevra, for our bunch. Vasher nasepo Nemrov, you know, I don't have to tell you what's going on in Nemrov that you already heard from others. Vayedata yom vashevosa levavecha ki Hashem elokim. But there's a stabilizing rootedness in our recognition when we get to our bottom line, vashevosa levavecha, where we internalize in our heart, bottom line, ki Hashem hu ha'elokim. That after all is said and done, whatever we're going through, and again, this is after Rav Nosson was literally thrown out of, run out of town and went into hiding. Ultimately, he was brought to trial, he was put in jail. When he was released from jail, he was on house arrest back in Nemrov. This is in Nemrov, on house arrest in Nemrov, cut off from a lot of his life. People were afraid to come to him, including family members. People were afraid to come to him because of guilty by association. In the coming letters, he soon again has to flee Nemrov. So this is on the fly. But he said, bottom line, let's internalize. Ki Hashem hu Elokim. A Breslov, of a Nemrov, of a Chol Mekomos Memshalto. All the places where God reigns, which is the entirety of the world. The Chol Asher Asuli, and everything that has happened to me. Hakol L'tova Toda La'el. As a daughter asked, as one of our daughters asked like 6-7 years ago, was Rabbi Nachman Marokai? Because in Eretz Israel, a lot of Breslovers are Moroccans. Rabbi Nachman was not Marokai, but he said Toda La'el, which is like a very strong Amchadik Sfardish greeting and praise of God, which is really beautiful. And it would be amazing if it worked its way into the lexicon. I know now it's not going to be natural, but it's okay. Sometimes you got to force things. It'll just be amazing. Everything that happened to me, hakol tova. Todalael. Everything is for the good. Kasher ma'at mizer ani mevin merachok, and I only know a little bit. Merachok kavayali, like the Navi says, a little bit from my vantage point. What he's experiencing, I could kind of see myself in the big picture. As he's trying to like see that there's a big picture here. Like we talked about in the past, like there's a before, a during, and after that we all are going through right now at the same moment. And sometimes we're able to contextualize what we're going through and see the big picture that there's going to be a tomorrow and the sun will come out tomorrow and I'll have a new chance and I'll be able to fix. But Rav Nosson is seeing everything happening all at once. He said, I could see in my mind's eye, Ki Hashemu Elokim, and a kol tova. Va'ikar, 6 lines down. I believe that everything is for the good. now here and there in eternity. V'nei achi, and my brother Reb Yudel, he had a brother named Reb Yudel, who, by the way, he grew up in a home of his father was not a chassid, even though he attached himself to Rabbi Nachman when he got older, and he searched among a number of different rabbis. Reb Nosson did not grow up in a chassidic home. He grew up in a home where there was opposition to chassidus. He grew up in a home where his father was saying, like, what is this weird, what is this stuff going on? What are you looking for? What, it's not good for you over here? What kind of weird stuff are you getting into? And then when he got married, his father-in-law was even more opposed to chassidus. But he had two brothers also became, he schlepped along to Rabbi Nachman. That's often how it works. Brothers come along for the ride sometimes and find their place with the tzaddik. And it begins as like kind of like, oh, I want to be with my brothers. But then it ends up saying, like, I find my place here too. So this is Reb Yudel. In Achir Reb Yudel Baba Lila Mibreslev, he came at night. In other words, like, he came at night. Mibreslev, like, at night, literally. Vesiperli Shmuot, and he told me, like, some rumors, like, well, what he heard. I don't know what was going on. Like, they were being ratted out to the government. And he was on house arrest. And they were, like, when he'd go somewhere, he'd leave his house, like, people would throw things at him. Meotim Mesirus, like from the Mesirus, from like the people that they're ratting him out, malshining him into the government. Vamarirus, the bitterness. Sha'oskin Lemsur Nafshim L'Sha'ol Tachtiyos. I mean, it's like really, really difficult, difficult opposition here, which was not just like, oh, somebody wrote an op-ed in the newspaper and like said something, ooh, some like a fastball high and tight to like back you up from the plate, like back up, let's curb your excitement here about this movement. They were malshing into the government, and there were like there were actual fights. Shuls were being smashed, and Jews were being threatened. Families being torn apart. It was literally in certain areas a brink of civil war. And he heard about all the different threats of Mesirut, of turning into the government and facing prison and physical harm. And in the face of all that, b'chazdei Hashem. Lo nifcharati. Wasn't afraid. Lo nifcharati. This is not a maimer saying this talmidim. He's talking to his son. Saying I wasn't afraid. On the deathbed of Eliezer, the father of the Baal Shem Tov, his parting words to his son, who was going to be the leader of a movement that's continuously changing the world, he said, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of people. The only fear we have is." The only thing you have to fear is and Hashem. I mean, like, we've gone to Shalom. Like, there's a master of the world, there's a judge, and you stand before God, Lilith Falbel, you know, without Yirat Shamayim, not Pachat from people. You see that there's a certain common thread that among really great people who've changed the world and have made an enraged impact on the world, is they're not people who are fearful of what other people are saying about them. I'm fearful of, like, losing followers on social media. Not fearful of what their in-laws are going to say about them. Not fearful. They're with Hashem. And they're not mitbalbel. Rav Kook was a person who was not mitbalbel. Rav Shaka Feivel Mendelevich was not mitbalbel. He was not afraid. Rav Soloveitchik was not afraid of people. He was afraid to publish his writings because the thing would come out perfectly. But he was a person who was not mitbalbel. He had his derech. He had his emes. He had his truth. Like Rav Moshe Tzvi said tonight, we be omrinti. I have your chamayim. I'm here within the context of the Masorah. Yalla says of Nosson, lo nifcharati. Adarabba. But the main thing to recall, Todala El. I feel like I'm at an Omer Adam concert. Todala El. Anisas v'sameach v'aleiz al chakina v'goraleinu. I'm excited. I feel good. Todala El. I die. I feel good. I'm filled with joy. Sason and Simcha are two different things. I mean, again, he's not writing like he's not writing a sefer on tefillah. He's not like Rapinkus writing and explaining different types of things. He's writing his heart. He's writing naturally. And he's using different words on purpose. I was like, it was overjoyed. Al chalkeinu v'goraleinu. From house arrest, I'm overjoyed with my portion. Ata, ata, now, now, ata, now. Ravoi lanu lomar ashreinu ashreinu elef rivos pamim b'chol yom v'yom. Now, here, this is Rav Nachman's Torah of Betzar Hirchavtali. The time to express gratitude is in the midst of the constriction. Rav Nachman says that it's appropriate for a woman who's in labor then to say Mizmor LaSoda, Mizmor LaTodah, to express gratitude there, not when the baby comes out healthy, also then, but in the midst of it, not when dawn is breaking, but there in the darkness. Thank you Hashem, because Hashem is here with us right now in that moment. Not when I get out of this place, I'm going to give a korban todah. When I make it out of here, I'm going to make a suda. If I make it out of here, I'm going to keep this mitzvah, I'm going to do this kabbalah, and this extra learning, and this chesed, and give that tzedakah, and do this, that, and the other, and change this about myself. Right now, here I am. Thank you, Hashem, right now where I am. In our generation, Rav Arush is like the Rebbe of gratitude. He's the Rebbe of gratitude. You ever see, like, he has a song with, like, saying thank you in, like, 50 different languages? Thank you Hashem. He said, you're not sure what to say thank you for? Thank you Hashem for my eyes. Thank you that I have eyelashes. Thank you Hashem that my eyes are able to open and close. He has like, he can go for 45 minutes just talking about his eyes. Thank you Hashem for my fingers. Thank you Hashem that you made joints that work. When I squeeze my hand, I'm able to pick something up. That my brain is able to communicate to my hand, that I'm able to pick up something with my hand. Thank you Hashem that I have fingernails that you created. Thank you Hashem that I have skin that's a... You Hashem, and inside of my hands is blood vessels. You can go on and on and on and on. And I'll say sneaky, like the stories of the Chassidim, like, you know, like the, some Rebbe does something, and then like you always have that Talmud that happens to be there and asks, Rebbe, what was that? More than one time in my life, more than once, probably three or four times, I don't remember exactly, I was at Kever Dan, sometimes during the day, sometimes during the night, very close to our house. Rav Arush used to have a yeshiva there before the birth pangs of Mashiach and the Birurim of Yemos Mashiach caused that the place is no longer there because of the covenant of the Jewish people. It's better not to talk about it too much. But there used to be yeshiva there. There was a place there, the Rav Arush. The Rav Arush had a little bit of smetish there. It was like a little Chutz L'Machane, Shevet Dan kind of a crowd. And he even had a mikveh there and like a whole scene, the whole matzav there. Just hang out there with my shir back in the day. But a number of times I was there and Rav Arush was there also. And Rav Arush would sit on a chair by a tree in this beautiful orchard of cherry blossoms. And he'd talk out loud. You could hear him from a few away. Todah lachel lacha Hashem itbarach Ezo ananim Ezo shemesh. Like seriously, like, and the Chevy didn't care. Guys, you guys smoking cigarettes outside and barbecuing whatever, you know, barbecuing hot dogs. No, they're used to it. He'd come there, and then he'd walk off, and you'd hear him, and he'd come back, and he'd just be talking to Hashem, walking around, thank you for this, thank you for that, thank you for this, thank you for that. What it means, what Rabbi Nachman's doctrine of having a lev basar, of having a fleshig heart, an open heart, this doesn't mean being broken to brachen and being able to do it. It means like being aware and being conscious and being grateful all the time, even in the tzaros. Maybe dafka netzaros, the tzar chavtali, b'chol yom v'yom, ata, now, here, on house arrest, with all the problems and all the tzaros, he has the right to his son, who's literally Breslov to Nemrov, from Breslov to Nemrov, it's very close, Tinek to Englewood, and writing letters because he can't see him face to face, he's so close, but there's a distance. Because of the opposition, v'choleis v'yamish mipinu lomar ashreinu, and in every moment to just say ashreinu. What does ashreinu mean? What does ashreinu mean? Say. Okay. What?
Fortunate.
Ashrei yoshev v'tachav. We are lucky. We're fortunate. Others, we have what to be grateful for, to appreciate. Fortunate we are. How lucky we are. How blessed we are. Cultivating a sense of gratitude, an expression of gratitude, in the midst of tzara, it's called b'tzar, in a place of constriction, kechavdali, giving me a little bit of a space to take a deep breath, in the middle of it all, by saying thank you. Saying ashreinu. Ashreinu means how lucky we are. It's a way of expressing thanks, which is really a way of expressing praise. There's really a way of recognizing that there's a higher source, and that if the good thing is coming from Hashem, then the difficult thing is also coming from Hashem. It's all wrapped up together. And there's an opportunity for me right here to kind of create a little bit of an expansion, a moment of expansiveness, a moment of breathing in a place where I'm feeling choked. We know from the true tzaddik, from Rabbi Nachman, that shechnis banu, what did we put into us, injected into us, who put into us the largish ma'at mesikus Hashem achashreinu, a little bit of what, how sweet it is to say Hashreinu. Just how sweet is that? What did Rabbi Nachman do if not give us that key to unlock this constriction by saying Hashreinu? Shekol Yisrael v'anachnu b'socham amrim b'chol yom. It's always a talk about Am Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael, Nishmas Yisrael. I heard this bit from Rabbi Jacobson. They talk about Knesset Yisrael, they talk about the community of Israel, all of Am Yisrael. But we're also part of Am Yisrael. V'anachnu b'socham, we talk about being Moser Nefesh for Klal Yisrael. They went, ah, Am Yisrael is Heilig, and Ashreichem Yisrael. Ashreichem Yisrael, when you walk down the boulevard here, it's very, very specific and consciously planned out signs. You see the sign, there's cues. And Dr. Benji takes pictures of them and posts them, and often stops by them, like a Jew should stop by a mezuzah before we walk into our house, and use it as a meditative device, as a trigger for us to focus on. I mean, it's constantly put it there on purpose. When it says Ashreichem Yisrael, it's talking about you and it's talking about me. And the campers here also, meaning everybody. V'anachnu b'socham, saying to his son, we're also part of that Ashreichem Yisrael. We're also part of that Ashreinu. We're also part of that Yisrael, Asher Abacha Aspar, that Hashem takes pleasure in Nachas in. Aval zi'irin inun shiasimu leiv l'zeh. Every year he's saying, ah, Ashreinu, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. And that's also good, it's good to say it. But how many of us, or how often, are we paying attention? How often are we opening our hearts to really pay attention? L'hargish, and to really feel. V'sikus ne'imus ha'dvarim she'em omen v'fiyam. We say these words, Yibor Hashem. We say, Shakol ne'yev v'varo. We say it all the time. Go to the bathroom, we say, Asher yatsa, Adam ha'chachma. That's me. Hashem created me b'chachma. V'varavo, that's me. Nekavim nekavim. Say Alam Michya, I talk about Eretz Yisrael. To awaken our yearning and our longing for Eretz Yisrael. Borein of Hashot Rabot V'chesronam. It's talking about me, it's talking about you, it's talking about all of us. We say this like it's Shagur B'fino. Chazdei Hashem, Chazdei Hashem. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Hashem. V'ivarech Kobasa Hashem Kod Shalom, praising Hashem. That means that I really believe that Hashem is interested in what I have to say. And I really believe that I have a relationship with the Creator and Sustainer of the Universe. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. But I really believe that in some way that's meaningful to say, Baruch Hashem. And that in my core, even if it's difficult, and I'm hassled, and it's fired, and I'm exhausted, and all this tzaras, yes, also that. But also, like, pay attention to what we're saying. Give ourselves a little bit of credit over here. To pay attention, l'argish mitikut ne'imut advarim she'em omrim b'fiyem. Again, digi dai dai, v'todah la'el, asher hamal aleinu, Hashem yitbarach, v'chasdo ha'gadol v'nifla, chad Hashem, todah la'el, in his great kindness, in his wondrous kindness, his great kindness, v'vilti li'os misnagit, chad Hashem, I'm not a misnagit, I'm not against this movement. Meaning like the story of the Klozmer Rebbe, up the hill, down the hill, up the hill, down the hill. Hashem chose you. What do you say? Will you still say Baruch Hu Kishvar Chvodo? You still say Hashem Baruch Hu Kol? You still proud of being a Jew? You still feel good about your Yiddishkeit? What does the Klozenberg Rebbe say? Yeah, I'm not you. I'm not the Nazi. I'm not the oppressor. We say Baruch Atah Hashem Shelo Asani Goy. That's part of the Jewish narrative. It's part of our literature. We thank God that we are not Goyim. Say that bracha. If nothing else, that's a bracha to say every day. Not a Gentile. Hashem. And but it's very strong in Breslau. It's very strong. It's very strong in Breslov. Baruch Shalom Hashem Goy. Oh, a Breslov Ramaisa, no? And in every single sitter, I think ever printed. I've been looking at every sitter that's ever printed. Let's say in the Masoretic community, in the covenantal community. I'm not sure in more contemporary Sidurim that have broken with. They're going to reform Sidurim, took Yerushalayim out of the sitter. When they first, I don't know, whatever. They took all the good stuff. Shalom Hashem Goy. There's such a thing as like when a person's up against the wall, sometimes like, you know, Pleasant American would say, listen, I'm a Jew, but I'm also not the bad guy. I'm also not a Nazi. I'm also not an anti-Semite. Something to celebrate. Baruch Shalom Hashem Goy, the story of Shmuel Monkis, the great Mashmim and Chabad. Shmuel Monkis suffered a fire in his home and lost his writing, his Sfarim, and other things. Exactly what it was, but the upshot of it was, and they said to him, like, you know, oy vey, like, what's going to be with you? And he said, I'm not a guy, and I'm still Jewish, and I'm still a Yid. Baruch Elokeinu Shebaranu L'chvo, Dovid Dilanu Min Atayim. Like, Hashem created me to honor him and separated me from them. And Baruch Shalom Hashem Goy, as long as I wake up in the morning, I'm a Jew. Everything else, a kol revach, like, everything else is just katzefet. There's a contemporary, whatever, they're going into it. There's a great little bit on Israeli, contemporary Israeli society called the Tortalin. It's like a really absurd caricature of the most extreme expression of like a family that's like really focused on materialism. And I watched it with our oldest daughter. We watched it a bunch of times. It's really unbelievably hysterical and insightful. It's really beyond. I bless all of us to be able to, like, you know, watch like good bits with our kids and really appreciate it and laugh at it. No, it's like really good shtick. I mean, like, they have a little WhatsApp group, me and my wife and my oldest daughter, like, that's the picture is like of the guy Tesha. Like, it's a good shtick. It's really top notch stuff. It's phenomenal stuff. I played this bit for Kluger to show with him. We didn't want to, like, see, but I played it to hear the audio and he liked it. And the guy says, like, you know, Kamta Baboker Ashir, if you wake up in the morning rich, everything else is just extra. Everything else is sprinkles on the ice cream. So it's true, but if you wake up knowing that you're a Jew in the morning, everything else, we have what we need, Ashreinu. I'm a Yid, I woke up, I'm a Jew, I'm a Ben Melech, B'ri B'chori Yisrael, Yisrael Asher B'chashba, that's talking about me. Okay, so everything's going to be okay. Like, even if I'm struggling, and even if things are difficult, Yitov, I can say, okay. I'm going to go, whatever. I'm in the context of a relationship with Hashem here, and this is happening for a reason, and it might be very, very difficult, and very painful, and really awful, as what's going on in Rav Nosson's life. It might be very hard to swallow. It might not be pleasant. I might not want to swallow. I might tell Hashem, I don't want it like this. I want it different. But at least we have a relationship. It's Ashreinu. Ashreinu that I have the ability to, like, fight back a little bit and give it back to Hashem. So if Nosson is saying here something, I don't know, at least for me, this was next level when I saw this. I say Baruch Shalom Hashem Goy. Already, I think there's L'Kulei Alma we could say, right? So we'll get really into it. Baruch Shalom Hashem Goy. Rav Nosson is saying here, all the difficulty that we're suffering and going through, all the hardships and hassle that we're experiencing in our lives, at least I'm not a misnaggid. At least I'm not the one who's throwing rocks at the people who are trying to grow close to Hashem. Now, there's a understand the historical context of what was going on then. It's not the right time and place to go so deep into it. There, you know, there are tzaddikim throughout the generations, you know, and Chabad and elsewhere are quoted as like giving real credit to the opposition to Hasidus, to like kind of pulling the pendulum back to the center a little bit, kind of like curbing some of the more outlandish and maybe even inappropriate liberties that were being taken and certain introducing new practices and kind of being lax in certain areas of halacha, and the Hisnagdus in that time kind of pulled it back to the center. And every shita and approach and every way of understanding it in its own appropriate place. But Ashreinu that we're not misnagdim, we're not against. The way Rav Nosson, by the way, learns and writes and davens is very personal, and I believe that, like, to borrow again from the terminology we were talking about in the introduction from Henry Nouwen, that to read this just kind of from the outside in, kind of like Rav Moshe Tzvi was saying again tonight, is not Rav Nosson's intention. But to read this from the inside out, and I said, what am I reading here? At this point, half the guys in here are walking around in gartels and payas, and the, everything is so famished already. It's over. There's people to sell magazines. You make a hawk out of these things. But in the end of the day, like, is it really, like, there are people on either extremes who, like, have certain opinions, and otherwise, like, the rest of us is just trying to make it through a day without, like, embarrassing ourselves. You know, like, let's be honest. And whether it's Nesiva Shalom or Mesil Yisharim or it's, you know, whatever you have in front of you, whatever, a Pinkus over here, and it's a Gemara or Mishnayis, or it's a Baal Shem Tov, whatever. In the end of the day, most parents just be happy that their kids are doing something functional Jewishly and being Ovdei Hashem. And if not, so then, okay, it's another couple generations till we work through the damage that the Holocaust did on us and that people are still stuck in, you know, in Europe 100 years ago. And those people can't be helped regardless. But there is still such a thing in the world as, like, shitos. There's such a thing in the world as paths and approaches in Yiddishkeit. But for the most part, we're privileged to be able to enjoy the smorgasbord. We have the ability to kind of, you know, eat milchiks and then have fleishiks and then, you know, a couple hours later have milchiks again. But there is a time and place, and there are certain communities apparently where this is still very much a thing. As the children of Bali Tshuva who grew up in a home of parents who met in the 60s and very much came from that culture and grew up like a very liberal, democratic, you know, United States, without any specific shita other than just be a good person and be a straight person and be an honest person. You know, it's hard sometimes to relate to people who are just locked in on a certain way to the exclusion of other ways. It's hard for me to understand that a little bit. But there's Shivim Panim LaTorah, and part of those Shivim Panim LaTorah also that is also that way. It's also that way. But when I'm reading this, I'm reading these letters, I'm not just trying to think about what Rav Nosson was going through then historically, but for myself, to say, thank you Hashem that you had Asher Chamal Aleinu, that you had compassion on me. L'vlilios misnagi. That I don't have to be against Nick, I don't have to be against him. L'kariv kisap l'nekudas ha'emes. And to just draw close a little bit to the true points, the real points of Machnis Banu. I think there's a typo here. Mitzchazik liot sameach batachlis anitzchi. Rabbi Nachman's entire way of seeing the world. And that Rav Nosson is creating a real system for him. Of just gathering sparks, of gathering the kudos tovos, and everyone that we meet, and every place that we go, finding the light there, finding the good there, finding the positive there, experiencing what's right and what's holy and what's beautiful about the world, and connecting to the good in every place and every person. Nachman said, Sfaradim Ashkenazim, there's no nusach. It's developed over the years. Different communities have tried to, like, formalize and wrestle them and hug him because Nachman said this and said that. But he also said, like, it doesn't matter what nusach you daven, just daven. Daven with your heart, talk to Hashem, bring yourself. That's why my daughter thought that Rabbi Nachman was a Moroccan, because the wrestlers in school are Moroccans. It's all true of Moroccans. But Hashemu that I'm not a misnagid, it says. I could list Karev Tzat with the Kudos Ha'emes Ha'machas Vanos Chaz with the Sameach Vatachas Anitzchi. And I could just connect to and focus on what's eternal. It also very much fits in with the way Rav Nosson deals with pain and deals with suffering by just taking a step back and saying there's going to be an end to this because the world is finite and limited, and in the end of the day the only thing that's eternal is our reaction to this and the emunah that we have that Hashem is with us. Hashem is Hayahovah Viyah. This world is not. This world had a beginning, and this whole narrative of human history is going to have an end. There's going to be a chapter called the end of days, and that's going to have the dawn of redemption of Mashiach. And there's going to be, we want to believe that there's going to be a Sof Tov to this whole thing. We were just in Tisha B'Av, and that was like, you know, Tisha B'Av is representing a certain chapter, but we frame the entirety of Tisha B'Av as Kamo Isha B'Tzireha, the woman who's giving birth, and there's a process here. And this process is painful, and it's a place of constriction, literally, from the narrows, Min HaMeitzar Karatika. Korot Fair, he used to go Bein HaMitzarim, in the narrows, in the straits. And there, Rav Nosson is revealing to us the pathway out, that the way out is gratitude. Is being aware that Hashem is here with us right now and saying, Ashreinu there. And pay attention. Don't just say, oh, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. As if to like glaze over, to like concrete cement over, to pave over the pain and to kind of pave over, just make everything look good and smooth and sound good and look right for the world. He's not saying that. He's saying, but in there, in that difficult place, to find an akuda, from one point, I woke up in the morning today and I'm a Jew. Not to Photoshop everything else. Not to remove all the pimples and the rest of the. Not to get rid of all that stuff. But there, to find an akuda tova, an akudas emes, something which is nitzchi. Put on tefillin today. Do we have any idea what it is to put on tefillin, what the schus it is? The Vilna Gaon says, by holding back one moment from saying Lashon Hara, there's infinite, infinite, infinite worlds of star in eternity. I think the Vilna Gaon was like saying it, like he was like trying to like, well, he needed to fill a meaningful minute to send that on WhatsApp, so he needs to say something that would be really quick. So he said something that would really be good, that would catch on. And maybe they'll invite him to come speak at the Chazak event next year, or at the Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation thing. Or they'll invite him to come speak at the keynote address. So he had to say something that would make people feel really good. So he was just trying to like blow smoke. He was just trying to like make people feel good and give everybody, you know, a little bit of a false sense of confidence. Vilna Gaon was measured. He knew exactly how many moments during the year he wasn't learning Torah. Everything was... He's more of a human algorithm than Moshe Bain from the OU. I mean, he's a person who was measured and planned out and strategic about everything. About everything. Everything had its place. Everything was a graph. And the Vilna Gaon said that holding back one moment from not saying Lashon Hara, what about if he held back for a moment and then I just couldn't control myself? I ruined it, right? He didn't ruin it. That moment, or two, or three, or four, that we didn't say, that we were marpalash and that we were healthy, that we overcame that desire, that urge to, like, you know, to slum it, it's forever. Instead of killing ourselves, we have to do tshuva over the things that we said that we shouldn't say. But how about appreciating that good moment? How about thinking about that moment and saying, oh, I did a line of Oreos. I have no self-control. And I ate like half a container of croutons at 4 o'clock in the morning and drank shoka. What the hell is wrong with me? True. Yes. That's a good question. You know, I ruined it. It was so well during the day and ruined it at night. No, it was good during the day and that's good, and that good is forever. I davened the shachas. Okay, mincha I have to work on, but today I davened shachas. It's not just talking about other movements and other people and Misnagdim and Hasidim and modern Orthodox and right wing and Sephardim and Ashkenazim and Yekis and Hungarians. I'm trying to connect to all the people. They're talking about inside of me also. Inside of me. To find like that there's a real Nekudas Emes inside of me. Va'ikar, on the top of the next page, Va'ikar, Va'emunah HaKadosha B'Hashem Yisparach. And my Emunah B'Hashem. And I'll say that the way I'm understanding this is even when I doubt my Emunah Hashem. Like Elie Wiesel said, I've rebelled. I've rebelled against you, but I've never repudiated. I've struggled with you. The fact that I'm struggling and that I'm fighting and I'm a little bit kofar sometimes and a little bit angry sometimes, a little bit bored sometimes, a little disinterested. I'm still in it. And in that whole narrative of trying to find our way in Emunah, L'tchaber, to connect to the Nekudas HaEmes there, like have those moments. The Baruch Hashem, the Ashreinu, the Chaz Hashem, the Todah La'el, the gratitude. Thank you Hashem for my eyes, and thank you Hashem for my hands, and thank you Hashem for this food that I'm eating. And we just say, we bang out the bracha, we move on. But to stop for a moment, just to think about all the different steps that went into that food ending up in front of me. Or to be able to be in the experience in the place that I am. Or you walk out tonight and you catch a moment where you see that full moon. We can believe that there's renewal. We can believe that like we wane and we wax and we have ups and we have downs. And that's why Hashem made the world. That's why Hashem made time. That's why Hashem put Kedusha into the world. That's why Hashem tells Am Yisrael to sanctify the moon and to know that we're the ones who are sanctifying the moon. And we're the ones who give Eidus. And we're the ones who define that. And we're the ones who determine those terms of Kedusha in the world. And we're the ones who determine when Yom Kippur is and when Pesach is. And even if I'm not exactly the way I want to be right now, to believe though, that Hashem believes in me and that there's a relationship happening. To believe in the true tzaddikim. There's tzaddik ha-emes and there's tzaddikim amitim. Rabbi Nachman writes about the tzaddik emes, talks about himself. He's a mishpela. Talks about himself as the healthiest person that lived in the last few hundred years. When he was self-aware, he's comfortable expressing, knowing his greatness, knowing his abilities. If a person's the best doctor, if a person's the top cardiologist in the area, and you say, oh, I heard you do heart surgeries. I'm the most sought after cardiologist. It might sound a little bit arrogant. It might sound a little bit like, whoa, we're not used to talking like that. If it's true, it's true. Uva ha-tzadikim amitim. There are many tzadikim amitim. There are many true tzadikim. Tzadikim have different paths and different ways. Ashreinu matov chalkeinu shezachinu lehinatzel mahamisnagdim al ha-emes kazeh. We're so fortunate, we're so blessed, we're so privileged, we are so lucky that we are on the right side of history and we're not misnagdim. We're not in opposition to those tzaddikim. He's suffering because of that opposition. But at least I'm not the one who's pursuing. When there was a certain point in YU when there was construction, imagine that this was a thing. When YU, when they started construction, expansion of the campus, and they were beginning to build Belfer Hall. Anybody been to Belfer before? They sucked into that wind tunnel, that Bermuda Triangle there? The front there. Belfer Hall, it's like the tallest building in upstate Manhattan, in northern city. You can see it and it coming up. You get that feeling, you know, and you see Belfer Hall from the Harlem River Drive, whatever, the FDR Drive. Anyways, when they're starting to build Belfer, the plans for Belfer was for it to be this huge edifice that would be seen, you know, that would tower over the thing. And there were some bachurim in the yeshiva. There were a number of guys in the yeshiva who were very frustrated with that. They were upset about that. Because Chazal tell us that, like, the shul should really be not just the center of the community, but should be the highest point. Because the Churba shul in Yerushalayim is rebuilt in the Rova in the square. It's the tallest building in the old city, Yerushalayim, there in that part of Yerushalayim. And that's why the Muslims, Yimach Shemam, the enemies of the Jewish people, were trying to, like, court orders and protest to try to prevent it because they want their prayer place to be the high point. And it's not like a contest over here, but Tachlis, place of prayer and Torah study, a base measure, a base message, should be the center, not just geographically, but also be the center physically. And there are a number of Talmidim who are very upset about the halachic element of it and the symbolic element of it. And halachically, it's not so simple, that it's a community, that it's its own city, it's whatever. But symbolically, they felt like this is an inappropriate message. That when in the balance of Toru Mada, which is a challenging dance, you know, what kind of message is sending that the place where we're going to have statistics class there and intro to bio is going to be taller than the Beis Medrash? And the students which led the rallying cry and protest against this building of Belfer was Rabbi Shlomo Riskin. I think that they're telling me it's called Steve. Rabbi Riskin is a person with a lot of passion. Okay. You heard this lesson? He was fired up about it, and he was like rallying people and getting signatures and making a fuss about this building. And he like went to Rav Soloveitchik. He went to Rav Yosef Ber Soloveitchik to like get Rav Soloveitchik like on board to like, you know, I don't know what they're gonna do. I don't mean like the chevre in my neighborhood, like, I don't know, tie himself to the bulldozer or something like that. And, like, give out, like a zombie war, like out of the graves, like, you know, give out. These are my kids. We play give out on shops. Anyways, I don't know what we're planning on doing to try to, like, you know, get the Asra Kadisha out in Washington Heights and rally Wahyu Rosh Yeshiva to like make a protest against the building of Belfer. And Rav Soloveitchik looked at him like, I don't know, maybe it's a good thing, maybe it's not a good thing, maybe like it's. Ought to have done it differently, but like, don't be such an against Nick. I was like, don't invest all your passions being against something. Like, don't be a snag. I don't know if Rav Soloveitchik said that. The point of my life, well, that's like a dirty word. Oh, he's such a snag. You know? Like, even, I've grown out of it a little bit, even one of our kids said to me once, Abba, it's like so masnagdish of you. I'm like, no, it's called being a responsible parent, saying you have to go to sleep now. Not everything that has boundaries and limits and responsible limits is masnagdish. It's true that, you know, you take a bottle of vodka and have those little plastic spouts on top. What's it called? When the pour, you know, they pour tequila shots, it doesn't pour out all too much, it comes out the right amount. What's that called on top? It's called a snag. That's what we call it. Because it prevents the flow of shefa, machane, trying to shut down the machane. It's a snag, no? Never heard that? That's what we called it. I don't know. It's called a snag. Anything that's like in the way of us having fun and being a schmuck and having a great time and like doing my thing, anything that's like trying to shout down the Libby Omer is a snag. It's nagdus. And if we take it out of its historical context, not out of its religious context, yesh baze mashu. Ashreinu matov chalkeinu shezachinu linotzel ma'mesnagdim ala emes. We should define ourselves like what we're against, what we're not, what I don't want to be, what I don't want to do. But what do I stand for? What's my purpose? What's my reason? What's my why? What gets me excited? What gives me chiyus? What gives me life? What makes me feel big? What makes me feel my best self? What do I like doing? What do I enjoy? Now, the first thing when we start a diet is, I'm not going to eat this, and I'm not going to eat that, and I'm not going to eat this, and that. No, I'm not doing this again, I'm not doing that again. And I'm never going to that, I'm not going to do this anymore. My big Kabbalah is, I'm not going to do that. But what am I? What positive steps am I taking? What Nekudas Tovas am I attaching myself to? Zechel Kenu, this is our portion. He's saying, he's talking to his son. This is what we're part of. You also imagine the pep talk he's giving his son, who's getting beat up, and his own son's Parnassa and Shalom Bayis is falling apart. Yitzchak ended up getting divorced. I mean, their lives were unraveling. He's saying, but this is what we have to hold on to. We're connected to something so true and so real and so eternal. Zeh nachamoseinu b'chol tzara. This is our nechama, this is our consolation, this is our comfort, b'chol tzara. Erev Shabbos Nachamu. What are we holding on to? What is it that we're attaching ourselves to? How do we see ourselves? Zeishu Aseinu, Tikvaseinu Bazeh Bavala Netzach. How are we able to take a step out of where we're holding the constriction we're in? Or even better yet, how are we able to carve out within whatever stuckness we're experiencing personally or nationally? And attach ourselves to the bigger picture. The birth of Noach, when Noach is born into the world, the pasuk says that the birth of Noach, Zeh yinachameinu, mima'aseinu mi'itzvon yadeinu. Zeh yinachameinu, this will be our consolation. I mean, understand what was happening in that time in the world. The pshat and psukim, after HaKadosh Baruch created the world in such a beautiful way and said, eat from all the trees and enjoy the entire world, Adam and Chava weren't able to resist. And the first gullus, the paradigmal gullus, is the fall from Gan Eden, the expulsion from paradise. And after that expulsion, after that galut, after that first darkness that really came into the world, after that first week that Hashem created us, and how is the world ever going to be able to be fixed? How are things going to get better? How are we ever going to make this up? Like, how is this going to? How are we able to get back to like the way it was with Hashem, and not always be stuck in the fact that we had a chance and we blew it? Zeh yinachameinu. This is going to be our comfort in that exile. This is going to be our consolation in that exile. When Hashem looked at the world and saw that the world was filled with impropriety, filled with chamas, people messing each other over, and it wasn't the original intention of the world. Hashem programmed into the world that, you know, there's going to be the opportunity to break and the opportunity to destroy. Vayinachem Hashem. It doesn't mean that Hashem was consoled over His creating the world. It means, like Rav Schwab explained, Hashem like reconsidered the whole thing. Like, maybe this is a bad idea. Maybe the whole thing like it didn't wasn't exactly the way it was supposed to be. Like, maybe I can't give you the keys to the castle. You just were mashchisim and wrecked it. Noach is born. Noach is called Ish Tzadik, Tamim, who walked with Hashem. When the Tzadik is born, after all of this exile narrative unfolds, Zei Nachaminu Ma'asenu Mitzvon Yadeinu, the Tzadik comes to the world L'Nachem, to reframe, to reframe, to change the perspective, kind of help humanity experience and see what we're going through in a different way. Like a teva, like an ark in the midst of a massive chaotic flood, there's hope. There's a point, there's a place, there's a person, there's a force in the world which is light, which is good, which is true, which is eternal, which is in itself a consolation, which is in itself a nechama, that it's not always going to be like this, but there's a way out. Zayin achameinu. So the Medrash says, regarding this birth of Noach, grammatically, the Medrash Rabbah points out, grammatically, you know, Zayin achameinu, so he's called, you know, called Noach, Zayin achameinu, really should be Noach, and Zayanchenu, not Inachamenu, it's like a, it doesn't work. Noach, Zayanchenu, as opposed to Inachamenu. I mean, Nachman is conjugated Zayinachamenu. So the Medrash says that Shnei Shemos hayu l'Noach. Noach had two names. One was Noach, that we call, and the other was Nachman. Noach represents the force of the Tzaddik that comes to a dark world after the fall, a world that Hashem says, I'm destroying it. I can't. It's too far, I'm destroying the world, but I'm leaving in the world the recognition that there's still hope. I'm leaving in the world that even in chaos and darkness and Mabul, there's still like a point there called Teva. Tzohar Tasa L'Teva, illuminate the Teva. That's the Koach HaTzadik, that's the light of the Tzadikim, that Shlomo Melech says, Or Tzadikim Yisnach. That the light of the Tzadikim brings us joy. The recognition that there's no such thing as a darkness where there's not light that's inside of it. There's no such thing as a tsara, as a constriction, as an exile that doesn't have inside of it some harchava. Noach was sent down to save the world, to like, okay, now we're in exile, we're out of Gan Eden. So Noach goes and creates Kalim to work the ground, agriculture, to plant, to fix the world, to till the earth, to bring out produce from the earth. In the same way, the Koach HaTzadik, when Rabbi Nachman was in the world, was to give us kelim, to give us tools, vessels, in order to work the earth, to be in the world. And like Rav Moshe Tzvi said tonight, to be in the world means to be in the world of division, and hardship, and struggle, and challenge, and failure, and ups and downs, and sometimes embarrassment, and sometimes humiliation, and sometimes loneliness, and alienation, and sometimes sadness, and sometimes feeling just... In the same way that Noach had Kalim and introduced Kalim mi'itzvon yadeinu, from the brokenness, from our sadness of exile, in order to bring out from the earth tools, because Adam HaRishon didn't have to work, he didn't have to use in Gan Eden. Noach is the one who comes into the world and introduces the world of work and tilling the land. The same way, Rabbeinu comes into the world to give us tools, to give us kelim l'nachameinu, to help us kind of reframe and reconsider our place within tzara, our place within constriction, our place within failure, our place within darkness, literally to rebuild the world. And in the days in between Tisha B'Av and Shabbos Nachamu, Zechel Keinu, this is our consolation, this is our comfort, by reframing, by knowing that there's a tzaddik emes, and then there's nekudos emes, there's truth and beauty and light in everyone and in everything, in every place in the world, including the difficulty that we find ourselves in now. This is our salvation and our hope. Bazeh, here right now where we are, ubevala netzach, forever. And for sure with the daven, v'tachnunim b'sicha harbei b'ni l'bein koni. For sure I have to talk more to Hashem. I have to talk more to Hashem in my own words. Alotim Tarasena Vasakanasa Over Malena. I've talked to Hashem, put it on the table. I read the Sakana. It's not all, everything's cool. Zainachameinu. Ashreinu, Ashreinu, Ashreinu. No, no. I have to talk to Hashem about the Sakana that I'm in. I have to talk to Hashem about the threat that I'm facing and the challenges my family are facing and the difficulty that I'm going through. Ach Yoter Mizeh. But more than that, of what's going wrong, Tzrichim Lischazek, Uvtach Vashem. Strengthen myself to believe in Hashem. Ulatzapos liYeshua. Look forward to the next chapter that it's going to be better. Liot Sameach Ba'oz Tikvateinu, and to rejoice in the power of our hope. To know that there's a teva out there in the stormy waters, and that teva is shining out a light to the world, the Or HaTzadik. Zayin Achameinu. Every Nachman's in the world, and the light of the Tzadikim in the world, and there's good truth in the world, and that truth is eternal. And that truth is in me. Ki todah la'el, tegidai, dai, did it four times. Todah la'el, yesh al mi l'smoch. I have someone to count on. I have someone I could rely on. I could be supported by this. B'vadai, lo yitosh Hashem otana ba'avur shmo agadol. Hashem will definitely is not leaving us hanging. V'gam atzikna v'seva. Anyway, old and even we're old. Hashem is never going to leave us. Hashem is going to help us. We're going to get to the final chapter. Divrei Avicha Ametzapa Lishua B'choles. Words of your father who is waiting. Who is waiting for redemption, waiting for salvation. B'choles. And to read this with Nosendik. Divrei Avicha, because I'm not Yitzhak. My name is not Yitzhak. My dad's name is not Nassim. My name is Judah. My father's name is Howie. This letter wasn't written to me from a father to a son. So I'm reading Divrei Avicha from the top of Yeshua B'choles. These are the words that Hashem is sharing with us, His children, all the time. Rav Nassim is the one who's delivering it. Rav Nassim is the vessel, is the conduit. What Hashem is telling us is don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm with you in the tzara. I'm with you in the constricted place. I was with you on Tisha B'Av. I'll be with you on Shabbos Nachamu. What changed? Yeah, we've changed. We're different. We're different. We went through something and something went through us. That experience went through us and we went through it. We mourned with Hashem. We protested against Hashem. We expressed our hurt and our sadness with Hashem. And at the same time, our heart is expansive. We could also celebrate with Hashem. We could also be thankful to Hashem for that. We don't have to sugarcoat it. We don't have to fake it, like, till everything's fine. But to be grateful and to be thankful, Echaz Hashem, we're not masnagdim. But we're not against finding new ways and different ways of learning how to be close to Hashem. Even in the challenging and difficult places, we're able to find a little bit of expansion. And if we don't fight that, if we don't fight those challenges, and fight that constriction, we'll be able to reveal a very, very beautiful path of drawing close to Hashem Yisbarach and Metz Hashem Bezocha for the next chapter, which is a chapter of Yeshua V'Nechama. Chaim, good Erev Shabbos. Thank you, everybody.